You are now listening to the hottest true crime podcast in the streets.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Affirmative Murder. I am Alvin Williams, joined as always by my partner in true crime, Francel Evans.
Oh yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Yeah, man, I'm the mailman, can't you tell, man? Gonna post it.
What up?
Friend, do you know somebody asked me if that was you rapping?
We tell them yeah?
No, I didn't tell them yeah. I didn't think I had to tell them anything.
Should've told them
Did
yeah.
you even know real hip-hop? It's Kendrick Lamar.
You tell them yeah, man. Yeah, that's definitely
If they asked that question, they would have definitely believed that it was you. I'm like, yeah, you didn't know Fran used to rap?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you didn't know Fran used to rippity rap?
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, Fran, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I've been in this kick of old school music.
What is old school before?
Like
you?
80s.
Oh,
like,
okay.
You know, my dad,
right, respect. Okay.
My dad, that's all he listened to.
Yeah.
So I grew up listening to that. I know all the songs.
Yeah.
I came in here singing Tina Turner.
You did. There's a Tina Turner documentary on HBO Max.
I haven't
checked it out,
but
there's also a lot of good stuff on HBO Max right now. But I would agree. As you know, I have a big affinity for Evelyn Champagne King. I love Love Comes Down. Uh-huh. Love Come Down. That's one of my favorite songs. It's just something about it. It makes me feel like a bad bitch. Like, I just want to pour some wine and just dance.
It's like them
That's
songs,
such a great
man.
Song, man.
It's a great song. I was singing Tina Turner, What Love Got to Do With It.
Great song.
And it's like, those old songs played at least 4 minutes.
Uh-huh.
At the max, it went to 6 or 7.
Yeah.
The beat a play, the music a play, it's different, man.
Oh, man.
It's just, like you hear the old people say, you know, music ain't the same. It ain't.
It's not. It's not a song. Now, I will say, that new Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak song, Leave the Door Open.
That's one of them.
That falls in that category. That's a timeless song. And it's not just because it sounds like a song from the 70s.
Yeah.
It just is a great song. Like, you can tell they really crafted it, took time.
Them songs age well.
Instrumentation,
man.
You know, because it's not a lot of songs that hit the way a Frankie Beverly and May song
yeah.
hits. You know, it just is sunshine. You know,
yeah.
it's just different.
It's,
you know?
It's different, and they put, though, and back in the day, they put so, I'm not saying they don't put effort in now.
No.
It's just now it's so much content coming out.
Inundated.
You can't even.
Can't cut through.
You can't cut through it. You forget
so
a song.
It's
got to
be
so
special.
Fast.
It's got to be special to cut through all
for
the
sure.
noise.
Yeah. Back then it wasn't social media.
No.
They was putting out music and then you just didn't know
you
what the fuck.
You heard it or you didn't hear it.
I just found out about Luther Vandross maybe like a year ago when he came out, when he said he was gay.
Oh, I thought you were just saying.
No,
I,
no.
Oh, okay.
But I'm saying we don't.
I was about to jump over this
table
and fight you.
I'm saying that we didn't.
You just found out that Luther Vandross was gay, allegedly.
Yes, allegedly.
Yeah.
Even if he isn't. I'm saying, my point is.
If he is, one of my favorite Joe Budden jokes is he was like, if he is gay, he loved the shit out of whoever that dude was.
For sure.
Oh, because he just, oh.
Oh, my goodness.
Never too much. Oh, I mean, Luther Vandross is ridiculous.
It's different. But my point was that we just didn't know.
You don't know their personal lives.
Other than that,
the
albums.
You don't need to.
That was it.
You don't need. Beyonce brought up a great point. People were like, oh, you know, you don't really, you only shared like one picture of your baby. It's like, I don't have to share anything
right.
with any of y'all. Here's the music. Here's the songs. Enjoy
exactly,
the song.
Man.
You don't need to know what I like to eat or
Nothing.
What if I'm pregnant or any of these. You don't need to know anything about me.
Yeah.
And you don't. Deserve to
yeah.
either, you know, but now we live in this crazy, the idea that stan culture became like this acceptable thing, to be so obsessed with somebody that you know their every move and
yeah.
what state they're in, country, and their kids' names, and your Twitter picture is their kid.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That's weird.
And then like the fandoms will fight each other and attack each other. And so you can't like Nicki Minaj and Rihanna
because
all the Rihannas will... It's like, come on, bro. That's what you spend your day doing
yeah.
is being like, Rihanna's the best ever.
Yeah.
She's way better than Nicki Minaj. Like, that's your whole... That's what you spend your whole day doing? That's crazy.
Yeah.
We live in a crazy time. But, like, yeah, that was a simple... The 80s and 70s and
yeah.
really of all those times before social media, it was just a simpler time where you could just enjoy the music. The music just was about a vibe.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, let's try to make this song stream number one. It's some people that don't... They might not even like the song.
Yeah.
They're just like, our mission is to make sure Justin Bieber's song is the most downloaded song ever. Whether it's good or not. Yeah. That's what these fandoms do.
Yeah, it was that one girl, I don't even know her name, and I don't care to find out what her name was, but one of them came out and was like, yeah, stream my music, and I'll show you my boobs.
Oh, yeah, that was Doja Cat. But she played everybody. That was pretty
She's genius. A clown. But yeah. Anywho, they did that, and she was like, oh, no, I don't.
I'm not doing that. You like, fell for that? So look at you. She said something like that. Look at your face. Look at you. You made a fool of yourself. You played yourself. Like, yeah. But that's the game now. Is who can get the most streams, you know? Lil Nas X is tearing the internet apart, man. I love it, though. Like, you know, he's doing what he's doing. I don't really listen to his music, but I know he knows that game of the internet and shocking images and crazy videos and everything like that. And he's got the straights are going crazy.
Yep.
Christians, they're going, oh, man, cancel him. Oh, he's got them furious.
Yeah.
But he knows how to play that game. And guess what? All that anger and everything, they're going to go angry, listen to us. They go, look at this music video. This is the devil music video. Yeah. It's evil. Yeah,
keep on listening.
Billion streams. you're gonna evil him right into millions of dollars. You know, so it's all a game now.
For sure.
And if you don't see the game, then it'll consume you, and you end up being mad or being obsessed with making sure your favorite person goes number one. Number one doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know if Leave the Door Open is number one on the charts right now. It's the best song out.
Yeah.
Period.
I agree.
It's the best song out. Whether you like rap or what, if you don't really like R&B music or whatever, it's the best. Sonically, it's the best song out. It's a timeless masterpiece, beautiful song. So I don't really care where it falls on the charts. It's just fantastic music.
Yep.
And that's what people need to get back to realizing. Like, make good music. Don't worry about the gimmicks or who you're dating affecting your sales and all that. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Make good music. And the rest will come.
Yep.
Anyway, friend, we got some sad news we got to touch on. I did not know this young lady, but this is a story that happened in our town, so I felt like we need to touch on it. And also just kind of encompasses a lot of the stuff that we try to educate ourselves on as men in the true crime world. The details haven't really been released yet, but a young lady named Tara Savannah Payne went missing in Baltimore about 4 or 5 days ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people were trying to find that information. The last place she was seen was Canton. They found her purse somewhere far away from the last place she was seen. I don't know if you've ever been to the Canton Square where like Nacho Mama's is and all those restaurants. Mm-hmm. That's where she was. She was celebrating her birthday.
Right.
She disappeared. She got separated from her friends. And then I guess they just went home. And I don't want to lambast their friends. I just want to use this as an opportunity to say it to people, specifically women, because the world is so crazy. Just make sure your friends get home at the end of the night.
But nobody went. Where's Savannah?
I mean, they could. They must not have.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not here to bash the friends or whatever. But it's like, how do you go out with a group and then nobody goes?
On her birthday.
Where's? Yeah, out with because of this person.
It's her birthday.
And nobody goes. Where's Savannah? And I feel like that panic would sober you up if you're maybe intoxicated. I don't maybe.
I mean,
you go, wait, what the hell? You know, where's y'all go like
where's the birthday girl? The girl who we're all
that's crazy.
You
man.
Know, I couldn't imagine if it was one of my good friends' birthdays, we go out for their birthday and then
y'all lose the person.
Not like they said, all right, I had a little too much fun, I'm hopping in the Uber. Cause if somebody feels if somebody feels like they're in control and they call their own Uber, I'm not gonna be panicked. They go, yeah, man, the Uber's outside. I got a little bit too buzzed. I'm not feeling good. I'm gonna go hop in this Uber and go home. It's like, all right, well, happy birthday, good night.
Yeah.
But just like that, you just lost them, so you fill in the blanks yourself. Oh, they must have just went home.
Right.
Feeling well. You shouldn't. Your brain should go to the worst possible place until you find your friend. Call them. Go to their house. Don't end the night just being like, well, I just assumed they got home okay. We live in a crazy world. That's not an assumption we can afford to make in these times.
Yeah.
So just make sure your friends get home safe. And again, this is a message specifically to women, as fucked up as it is. You know, like this is a very women-centric warning.
Yeah.
Because this type of stuff can happen. Women can go home with a strange guy. A woman can get picked up because she's a little too drunk to have her guard up, and one of these animal-ass dudes take her home and do God knows what to her. Or you know, you get drunk and you just fall in a bush somewhere and then you're just left to the elements and who knows what, you know. So make sure your friends, if you're going to go out and rage and party and get blackout drunk, somebody needs to be responsible enough to go, I'm not going to get full blackout drunk. I'm going to make sure my friend gets home.
Yeah.
You can't, the whole squad can't be blackout
drunk. That's crazy.
I mean, somebody.
All y'all.
Yeah. All of y'all go to 10. Come on, bro. That's that. Like, and I'm not. This is not the Savannah Payne situation. Yeah, I'm just saying, in any situation, if your whole squad, all of y'all, get blackout drunk, that's incredibly irresponsible.
For sure.
Who makes sure everybody gets home at the end of the night? Y'all all just leave it up to. Okay, we'll figure it out. Come on, man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a Debbie Downer. I'm not somebody that's knocking anybody for drinking. I like to drink. It's fun. None of that. I'm never shitting on anybody for having a good time. But you got to be responsible enough to make sure you make it home at the end of the night. Because that's what matters the most.
Yeah. Shout out. I just want to give a shout out real quick. Shout out to my man Ty. Because one day we went out, got drunk, and I was the one that went a little too far.
Faded.
Got home, thrown up. My man Ty was right by my side, made sure I got home.
Yeah.
And he went on by his business.
That's a good friend.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All y'all can't go to 10.
No. Nah. Somebody has to be like, I'm going to go to 6, give me a nice little buzz, and then. But I got my buzz going to 8. So by the time 12 o'clock comes around, you know, and this bar closes, I'm good.
Should be wearing
a couple waters, you know what I'm saying? And I'll make sure I drove us here.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm too drunk to drive. We all got in the Uber. But I make sure we do an Uber pool.
Yeah.
And I'd make sure everybody drop me off last Uber.
Yep.
I'm drop my friend off, take them in, drop this one off, take them in, and then take me home last.
Yeah.
And then y'all just PayPal me my money for this Uber ride when y'all get sober.
Yeah.
Because I'm not paying for this whole Uber because y'all are asleep, quote unquote. Y'all giving me my money back. But no, again, rest in peace, man, to Tara Savannah Payne, man. Very sad on your birthday, especially on your first birthday after all this chaos. I can see that group of friends.
Yeah.
First birthday out, stuff's open, half capacity, whatever. I'm going out.
Next year?
Oh, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be, next year, everything full capacity, open, hopefully. People, it's going to be a lot of craziness.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, Miami, already this year, is going to be insane.
It's
hopefully it dies down by now. Hopefully people get it out of their system.
I don't think so.
You think it's just anarchy?
It's going to get, everything's back open. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be a new holiday. It's going to be wild. It's going to be a wild.
Miami, actually, and I don't even want to touch on this too much because it's so fucking disgusting. Those two young ladies that carjacked that guy.
I was going to bring that up.
In Washington, D.C. Rest in peace to him. He was an Uber Eats driver.
Muhammad Anwar.
Yeah. I don't really know if this was a setup, like they called him or anything like that, but he was an Uber Eats driver, and I think they might have just tried to jack him broad daylight. And this is a 13-year-old girl,
teens,
a 15-year-old girl. Yep. But again, this is the warm weather, people cooped up, people struggling. I don't know with 13 and 15-year-olds, I don't know if you should be thinking about. I feel like this was just dumb kids.
You know what I mean? Completely gross.
Yeah.
And
they tased them. Yeah.
I've seen the video. Graphic video.
Hanging out of the car.
But what pissed me off was that these kids did this, and that guy's laying there.
She was asking for her phone.
Asking for her phone, bro.
Her phone is in the car.
Her phone?
That was super gross.
I was like, you know what?
That was incredibly gross. The mentality of these kids is so fucked up. To be asking for your phone, that guy's lifeless. Car sideways. It was like something out of a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you don't go, all right, girl, whatever silly thing we were trying to do, it failed. Run.
Yes.
They tried to peel off with this dude hanging off the side of his car and flipped it.
Gross.
I absolutely throw the book at those people. I mean, I have no sympathy.
None.
They need to learn a lesson. I don't know how long they need to go sit down for, but you know, they murdered a guy, and I just have no sympathy for actions like that. It's absolutely disgusting, man. 13 and 15 years old, threw your life away. Threw your whole life away. 13, 15 years old, murdered a guy because you wanted to steal a Honda Civic. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. On other news and a little more lighthearted of a way, this is something that's happening in my industry, so I've never seen anything like this. The Suez Canal, they've built in the past few years, they've started building these mega ships that can carry more containers than ever.
Really? Okay.
And this Evergreen ship, I don't remember the name of the, but Evergreen's the line. Mm-hmm. I don't know the name of this ship exactly, but it's the length of the Empire State Building.
Damn.
The wind blew it sideways, and it's blocking one of the most high traffic canals in the world. It's costing $10 billion a day because they can't get past the ship. The ships block the whole canal. So now
it can't turn.
It's stuck. It like got dug into the ground. So now they're trying to dredge the ground underneath it. And they're hoping that in the next, like it's supposed to rain or something, or high tide in the next couple of days. that hopefully it lifts the boat up or lifts the ship up, and then they can the tugboats can push it. Because that's what tugboats, that's the point of a tugboat. Like, if you ever watch Thomas the Train and all that stuff, they have tugboat characters. A tugboat's job is to, like, navigate, like, ships when they're trying to dock. So they'll push.
Is that the ones with the rubber around it?
Yeah, so they'll push the front end closer to the edge of the dock, or push the back end, or push it out when they're trying to, basically they help it steer when it's in a straight line. So they're, but they don't have enough strength because it's dug into the ground.
Damn.
It's costing $10 billion a day. They expect that this could affect toilet paper supplies and stuff. So if you go to the grocery store, just grab an extra pack of toilet paper just to be safe. There could be, organs on those containers, medical supplies that need to get somewhere. I mean, the things that are transported by container across the world, you'd be baffled by.
Wow.
All kind of stuff. Food, medical supplies, organs, illegal contraband. The cartels might be fucked up right now.
Losing it.
I got $100 million sitting in Egypt right now on a boat, and I can't get it.
Mm.
So the price is going up on everything. Yeah. Oil price is going up, so gas prices will probably go up a little bit. If they already are, but they might fluctuate up a little higher now because of this. Everything you're going to see the cocaine prices might go up on the streets. You just never know. Everything's going to be affected by this a little bit. It might be incremental, it might be small amounts, but you're going to see this start to spread throughout everyday life, I think, if this continues. They said it could take weeks.
Wow.
$10 billion a day from just a small shift. And these ships are massive. You see them in person. Like, that ship specifically, it's probably massive. It might be too big to even come to Baltimore.
Really?
I don't know if I've ever, like, we don't get super ships like that. I mean,
because we don't have, isn't this not a, the size?
It's the size. Like, some ships are too big to even go to certain ports. They don't have the infrastructure to unload them.
Damn.
They're just too big. It's the size of the Empire State Building.
If you stand it up.
If you stand it up vertically. Jeez. It's the size of the Empire State. It's massive. It's crazy. $10 billion a day, man. So, yeah, it's just crazy. I just want to do that as a little palate cleanser.
Yeah, that's wild.
That story of D.C., that really pissed me off. That was absolutely ridiculous. But, again, I just want to say, like, this is you know, we're coming off a crazy year. These kids been cooped up in the house. I know what it's like. I'm going to try to phrase this properly. I know what it's like to be, like, an angsty teen and want to impress your friends.
What?
No, I'm just, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying
to steal a car, though?
What I'm saying is, coming off of this year where, you know, everything was uncertain, everything's locked down, these kids been in the house learning online. My point is not about those two girls.
Yeah, okay.
My point is that these kids might be on 10 because of the last year as well. Sure. So not just, I'm not saying carjacking, death, killing people with their car. I'm just saying people might joyriding, stealing FedEx trucks. Just kids might be on Let's go crazy. Then you combine that with social media, wanting to impress people and go viral. All of these things come into account, and now it's starting to get warm. So my message is just like, just be on the lookout. When you go pump your gas, don't leave your keys in the car, especially if you're a person that still goes into the gas station and, hey, let me get, you know, 30. If you still do that, as a matter of fact, even not just that, I saw a woman get her car stolen just in that time of going over to the pump and swiping her card.
Oh, yeah. Once you walk around, they come around the other way.
Yeah. So just be on the lookout for these type of situations, because kids been cooped up. I'm not saying it's an excuse, but I'm just saying, like, we saw the footage of what's going down in Miami. You know, these kids are turned up. They're, you know, they got frustrations and excitement to get off their chest. And then mob mentality, when you get a bunch of people around.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the dumbest shit I've ever done was just because it was like, it's like 100 people here.
Yeah.
This is like, yo, throw this. It just off of note. No, I would never do it. But it's like, today, we have a famous story. I actually told Sierra about this story. This wasn't even a lot of people, but when we were up on a Federal Hill in Baltimore, and we were up there with some people, and one of our friends was just acting.
Oh, yeah.
He was trying to impress this girl. And this dude is usually the coolest, most chill, laid back dude. He might as well have been doing cartwheels and backflips on this night.
Yeah, it's you. He does listen. So yeah, we talking about you, bro. Yes, we are.
We still talk about that to this day, where it was like, what are you doing? Yeah. It was so out of character. Not even just a little bit.
It really was so out of character that
it was like, what? It was wild. So just people get around people and they start to act crazy. They want to impress people and show out, and it's just something in humans.
Yeah.
So just you know,
just don't think about the repercussions and what happened. You don't.
I just want to get the laugh. I want to get the excitement. I want to get the shock right now in this moment. I want instant gratification.
Yeah.
So I'll fucking, oh man, brick off the bridge. Now the brick goes through somebody's car. You kill somebody. You know,
it can turn real quick.
Yeah, it can go from laughs to tears in an instant.
Yeah, now you're in jail.
Now you 13 and 15 years old, bro, on murder charges.
You can't. You're not gonna sit here and tell me that even whatever the situation was, y'all guys need a rock. If you would have called your parents and said, given the option for,
that's that's a strong assumption. I don't know these girls. I don't know their
lives. That's absolutely true.
But even so, you got caught. Yeah. The guy's here now. He's trying to get his car. Run. Let it go. It didn't have to go that way. Absolutely tragic, man.
Yeah, man. That was a tough one to read.
That was a tough one to read. Especially their age. They just threw their life away, man. 13 and 15 years old and you killed a dude. And then, like I said, and you're asking for your phone. So that's not going to play well in court at all. Nope. Now, I know they're kids and everything, but like, I know she was just like, maybe she couldn't comprehend that the guy's dead, whatever. And she's just as like, I'm being a selfish kid. My phone, let me get my phone out of the car. But when they play that in front of a jury, you're getting no sympathy. You know? Anyway, let's turn things around. Yeah. Friend, we got some celebrating to do, man. Yeah, for sure. Shout out to everybody on the, you know, joining the Patreon this week. Thank you very much. Also, I want to make a quick announcement. For the entire month of April, we're gonna be doing giveaways. If you sign up for the Patreon in the month of April, you're eligible for a free sticker. And also, just if you're already on the Patreon and you would like a free sticker, send us a message and I'll send you a free sticker as well. But if you sign up for Patreon in the month of April, you get a free sticker. I'm going to be doing some giveaways, maybe some sock giveaways, maybe some mug giveaways. So if you're not on the Patreon, get your ass on over there. There's plenty of content over there to enjoy, and you might get some free shit. Yep. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? Nothing. You put that bagel down right now. Hey, you. you put that bagel down right now. You go on to Patreon.com. You sign up and give yourself an opportunity to win some fun stuff. Anyway, friend, we're going to start things off with Ivy Strong.
Okay, ooh.
Yeah, it's an Ivy very strong, you know, especially when I get my pre-workout in me. Ivy very strong, Ivy, friend.
Nice.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And also, I said their last name, so that was my bad. I fucked up. But it was worth it for the pun.
That's their name?
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Up next, we got Aaron M. Mm-hmm. Don't have one for that. Shout out to you, Aaron M. Yeah. Thank you very much for joining the Patreon. You are a gem. Up next, we got Emily C. I see you make very good decisions, Emily C. Yeah, I got that. Everybody's not going to get one of these because some people's names are just like James H.
Yeah.
Hey, James. Right on.
Yeah.
Up next, we got John M. John is another one. I like when people spell it J-O-N. It makes me think it's not short for Jonathan, just because your name might just be John.
I think that might be short for Jonathan.
You think so? Okay. I don't know. So just fuck everything I just said. Yeah. Shout out to you, John. Up next, we got Corky B.
Okay.
And I just want people to know, I didn't. Let me turn this down for a second. This is a pseudonym, actually. Cardi B is a big fan of the podcast. And I'm sorry, Cardi. I didn't mean to expose you like this. But Cardi's pseudonym is actually Corky B. That's what she goes by when she doesn't want people to know. Okay. She's doing her thing and everything. I'm sorry, Cardi, but Corky, wink. I'm sorry, Corky, but, you know, I just felt like flexing for a second. We got big, luxurious guests that listen to this podcast. Shout out to Cardi B. Up next, we got Alexis E. Shout out to you, Alexis E. Alexis is the bestest. Hey on, right on. Up next, we got Rashmi M. Shout out to you, Rashmi. Shout out to you indeed. I don't have anything for that one either. Sorry. Up next, we got Ariana B. Ariana, what you gonna do is sign up for the Patreon, and you did it already. Shout out to you for a year. All right now. Up next, we got LML. LML, shout out to you, LML. I guess that's their initials. But LML. NMNOP. Yeah, all right now. We got something. I don't know. Up next, we got KJB. Shout out to you, KJ. Your picture is a pup, and I love it. Looks like a little scruffy one, too. Maybe a Yorkshire. Up next, we got Donnell S. Donnell, you better don yourself a nice outfit and get ready to win some shit on Patreon next month. That's what you better do, Donnell. Up next, we got Leanne. You got one for that?
Leanne?
Yeah, Leanne.
No.
Yeah, me either. That's not really good. Leanne, love the name. Yeah. Nothing. I can't work with it very much. Shout out to you, Leanne. Up next, we got Lisa H. Shout out to you, Lisa H. Thank you very much for joining the Patreon. Your imagery is interesting. I don't know what that is, but shout out to you, Lisa H. And lastly, we got Jocelyn B. She went, hey, Jocelyn, she went down, took her purse out, got real deep at the bottom. She's jostling around. Mm-hmm. She found $6 to become a serial killer. So shout out to you, Jocelyn B. Much appreciated to everybody on that list that we just named.
Thank you.
Everybody who is currently a Patreon member. It's all very much appreciated. As I said before, for the month of April, we're going to be doing all kind of giveaways just to show some appreciation for the people that sign up for the Patreon. So if you aren't currently on the Patreon, feel free to jump on over there, sign up at whatever level you feel like, and you will be eligible for all the things I just mentioned. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I think it's my turn to tell you guys some fucked up shit. We'll figure that out during the break. Stick around. Affirmative Murder is brought to you by The Social High Five. During 2020, we all had to adapt to some very unexpected conditions. It was no different for us sports fans. We're all anxiously looking forward to the time that we can reopen sports bars and stadiums, but COVID, flu, and other health risks are still very real. Now, though, there's an awesome new way for fans to cheer on their team and still keep their hands germ-free. With the Social High Five. Made from a sturdy, light, and easy-to-clean styrene, the Social High Five straps to your hand with ease and allows for a hygienic hand slap after your team scores a big goal, makes a massive play, and hopefully wins the big game. The company actually sent Fran and I a couple of Social High Fives, and while I believe podcasting is a sport, Fran has asked me to stop using mine to slap his butt because, quote, "This is not basketball, man. We're talking into microphones." End quote. Give the sports fanatic in your life a helping hand with the Social High Five. Just go to social, HIGH5.com and order one today. I think this will be a fantastic product for sports bars or even sporting organizations to just have ready for when fans come back, when patrons come back into their businesses to say, hey, we're still following the guidelines. We still want people to be safe, but it's okay to celebrate and cheer when your team does something awesome. So again, go to socialhighfive.com and get you one today and tell them Affirmative Murder sent you. All right, back to the show. All right, and we are back, Fran. It is indeed my turn to go first this week, so please prepare for the story of the two deaths of Willie Francis. Okay. My sources were Murderpedia and an article from face2faceafrica.com written by Mildred Europa Taylor.
Okay, you said the what? Two deaths?
The two deaths of Willie Francis.
Okay.
Here we go. So Willie Francis's case is the first known incident of a failed execution by electrocution in the United States.
Oh, man.
The 17-year-old, youngest of 13 children from a poor black family in Louisiana, supposedly murdered a 54-year-old white pharmacist named Andrew Thomas in St. Martinville, Louisiana in 1944.
Oh, I remember this.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this is a crazy story.
Is this the one with the picture? Has a photo?
No, this isn't the little boy. This is a different story.
Oh.
I know what he was like.
Didn't
a
it
little...
happen to him too, though? No?
No, he died, but he just, they had no proof that it was really him.
The thing with that
and
was,
he was like 13.
It couldn't fit. That's what threw me off.
Yeah.
The stuff they had didn't fit.
But the imagery is very similar to the story.
Okay.
17 years old.
Yeah.
Thomas was murdered in his bed. This is the guy, the 54-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
The murder remained unsolved for 9 months until in August of 1945, Francis was detained due to his proximity to an unrelated crime. Mm. In his pocket, allegedly, was Andrew Thomas's wallet.
Okay.
Keep in mind, this is 9 months later.
Yeah.
Francis named several others in connection with the murder, but the police were never able to find them.
And this was in the 40s?
This was in 1944. Well, 1945 when he was arrested.
What did wallets look like in 1945?
Oh, like shit. Like genuine leather, and they probably smell like death and butt.
Yeah.
You might even really like, you can see like cow nipple. Because they really use the real part of the, so you really see like cow skin.
Yeah,
you really see the details. Like, oh, this is cow back.
Yeah,
yeah. But I tell you what, sturdy.
Yeah,
it might even protect you from a bullet. a genuine leather
probably
wallet from the 19. Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh man. Money in it or not, it's just dense.
Yeah.
A short time later, Francis directed the police to where he disposed of the holster he used to carry the murder weapon. Not the murder weapon, just the holster. Despite two separate written confessions, Francis pleaded not guilty. Nevertheless, 8 days after the trial began, Willie Francis stood convicted of murder and was sentenced to death. On May 3rd, 1946, the big day had arrived. When the 17-year-old was strapped into Gruesome Gertie, this electric chair has such a reputation that it had a nickname. Mm. And they would take it from jail to jail. Like, it was the one. Like, oh, we got an execution up in, you know, Lafayette.
Pack it up.
Pack it up, take it over there. It was like a celebrity.
Damn.
Yeah, man, we got Gruesome Gertie. So imagine the ghost energy on that.
Yeah.
Killing hundreds of people, you know? So after he was strapped into Gruesome Gertie, something went wrong. When the switch was flipped to kill Francis, he began jerking around violently in the chair. That was when officials convened inside the small parish jail in St. Martinsville and they realized that something had gone wrong. The electrocution was not working. "Take this off," Francis violently screamed. When he screamed for them to take it off, one of the officers said, "Oh, because he said, I can't breathe." And one of the officers said, "You're not supposed to breathe." But he continued to insist that "I'm not dying."
Yeah.
So he's being electrocuted.
Being tortured.
But not exactly. That's the perfect word for it. He's being tortured and not enough to kill him, which is the objective.
Yeah.
He's being tortured enough that it's extreme pain, but he can communicate that I'm not dying.
Yeah.
I'm feeling every minute of this. This is awful. Please stop. So, you know, after minutes of this happening, the officers begin to realize, like, yeah, he's not dying. So they assisted him out of the chair, and reports said that though his heart was beating wildly, he was very much alive. Francis told reporters, "God fooled with that electric chair." But perhaps it wasn't God, as it turned out that the portable, quote unquote, chair, described as a 300-pound monstrosity of oak, leather, and wiring that was transported by truck from jail to jail in Louisiana to perform executions, was not set up properly.
Like a carnival.
Exactly like a carnival. Yeah, you're really killing the analogies right now. Yeah, it's exactly like,
yeah.
That's why I don't ride carnival rides.
I don't get on carnival rides either.
Because, like, I don't know who these high school dropout people are who are putting together this sophisticated machinery.
You're not telling me y'all didn't lose a bolt.
Come on.
It's a couple things I had to take down, put it back up. Oh, we don't have this bolt. It's cool though.
You're telling me you drove this truck from Kissimmee, Florida to Maryland and nothing fell out of the truck?
Yeah.
Come on, man. And you want to get on something that sticks you to the walls with no seatbelt?
Yeah.
Or something that spins around on an axis?
Yeah, I don't do carnival rides.
No, I don't do carnival rides at all. No, but I will push back on that though, because I've seen you get on carnival rides when we were in situations where there's girls around, and then I'm like, first wheel.
All
right, well, don't say that, like,
because that's not like, come on now.
But listen, it is a ride though.
I get it, but it's not going.
But all I'm saying is I stand by my morals and principles is what I'm saying, and then you're talking like you're on my side.
It's a Ferris wheel.
But me, I'm on the ground. Like, y'all enjoy that. I'm gonna have some funnel cake, and you know, I'll see y'all when y'all get off the ride. I'll watch the bags.
That's fine.
But now you're saying, oh yeah, I don't ride carnival rides.
I did maybe one time, and I had to.
Fair enough. We won't get into why.
Yeah.
Anyway, Francis later described his ordeal in the chair. He was quoted as saying, I wanted to say goodbye too, because Captain Foster had cheerfully said goodbye, Willie, as he flipped the switch to the thing. So he's like, I wanted to say some shit back to him, but he was so terrified that he couldn't even speak, right?
Yeah.
He said, my hands were closed tightly. Then I could almost hear it coming. The best way I could describe it is, wham! It felt like 100,000 needles and pins were pricking me in all over, and my left leg felt like somebody was cutting it off with a razor blade.
Oh.
And he didn't die, so he just lived through that for minutes. I could feel my arms jumping at my sides, and I guess my whole body must have jumped straight out. I couldn't stop the jumping. If that was tickling, it was sure a funny kind, because he had been told it would tickle and then he'd die. That's how they described being electrocuted to him.
How the hell would they know?
They're probably just being assholes.
Yeah.
I don't think they got down on one knee like, look here, buddy, it's going to feel like a tickle, and then you just go to sleep. I think they were like, he probably was genuinely scared. Like, what does it feel like? A tickle. Now shut up and open your mouth while I put this gag in it. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was probably something like that.
Why do they do that too? You know, break your teeth or something?
I don't know why they do that part. Probably. I would assume maybe it's something to do with biting your tongue or something. Maybe less clean up. Something like that. The blood. Okay. Something awful and grotesque.
Yeah.
He said, I thought for a minute I was going to knock the whole chair over. Then I was all right. I thought I was dead. Then they did it again. Mm. The same feeling all over. I heard a voice say, "Give me some more juice down there." And in a little while, somebody yelled, "I'm giving you all I got now." He could hear all of this shit happening. That they didn't have enough to kill him. And he's just in torturous pain. Ank saying like, "Hey, man, this is not working. Can you help me?" Shut up. He's having whole conversations with these people while he's being tortured horrendously. He went on to say, "I think I must have hollered for them to stop. They say I said, 'Take it off, take it off.' I know that was certainly what I wanted them to do." When he was removed from the chair, it was recorded that one of the drunk executioners, Captain Foster, yelled at him, "I missed you this time, but I'll get you next week, even if I have to use an iron bar."
Jeez.
But Francis wasn't executed the next week. Instead, he made headlines in Louisiana, and his case even landed at the Supreme Court. After the botched execution, Francis's father, Frederick Francis, was clearly not pleased with the legal representation his son had received in his trial. A report by Harold Record said that during his trial, his court-appointed defense attorney changed Francis's plea from not guilty to guilty without his consent, did not make an opening statement, called no witnesses, raised no objections, and put up no defense. So he
did
just did
no work.
He did nothing. he essentially did nothing. And when the boys,
like, why are you here?
Yeah, like, well, I could just represent myself for all this. Are you gonna say something? Nah, it's cool. He definitely was like, "No, it's cool. I got this," and just proceeded to do nothing.
He wanted to come in with fucking papers and shit on his hand.
Oh my god. Sorry, I'm late. He's late. Five other cases. Papers fall everywhere. Oh god, I could not imagine being on trial for something serious.
Oh, I'm going to jail.
Oh yeah, that's all you can do. So he flips over that little thing that the little door that swings open when you come into the court part.
Yeah.
Whoops! Fucking Steve Urkel and shit. You know, come on. So his dad saw an opportunity with this execution happening to really mount up a proper defense for his son.
So they had to do everything open. They had to retrial.
Not retrial, but he needed a defense because basically they were saying, okay, well, we're going to have to do an execution again. And so it made the headlines. People were advocating. And so they were like, somebody needs to step in and defend him on this. They electrocuted him. They failed.
They proceeded with that. So
the dad saw this as an opportunity to get him a proper defense.
Okay.
So when the boy's execution failed, his father saw this as an opportune moment to approach another lawyer to handle the case. Mm-hmm. Thus, while the state prepared to try to kill Francis again, Frederick managed to hire the services of Bertrand DeBlanc.
Mm.
That is a lawyer's name, especially in Louisiana. You know, he wears like a bow tie, like a seersucker suit, maybe a hat, like one of those hats that's round all the way around with a little feather in it. And he definitely goes, "Your Honor, I do declare."
Yeah.
He definitely.
It's one of them dudes where the ops go, "Oh shit."
Yeah, oh shit, it's DeBlanc.
Yep.
Hasn't lost a case since 23.
23.
Like, how you gentlemen doing this evening?
Yeah.
There's some marmalade in the lobby out there. You guys might want to get a drink. It's going to be a very long day for you.
Yeah.
And they're like, fucking Bertrand DeBlanc again. Yeah. So they hired Bertrand DeBlanc, a lawyer who had also, this is controversial, but this is how much he ends up believing in this case. Bertrand DeBlanc had also been good friends with Andrew Thomas before his death.
Mm.
So the guy that this young man is on trial for killing.
Yeah.
Was a friend of his.
Mm.
DeBlanc agreed to fight for Francis in court. He initially did not think that the boy might be innocent, but rather felt that, quote, "It's not humane to make a man go through the chair twice. The state fell down on its job.
Yep.
It made Willie suffer the torture of facing death without completing it.
Mm-hmm.
My few critics will soon be dead and buried, but the principles involved in this case of freedom and fear of cruel and unusual punishment and that of due process and double jeopardy will live on as long as the American flag waves on this continent." So that is a very principled stand. Yeah. Give it up for Mr. DeBlanc. Give it up for Mr. DeBlanc, because that is a very principled stand. What he's saying is, all of my friends who are like, "You're defending the guy who killed Andrew," they'll be dead at some point. But you can't make somebody go through this twice because y'all fucked up.
Exactly.
Basically, he's saying, How's double jeopardy still in play if you allow this to happen?
Yeah.
Because if you try me and I beat the case and they go, oh, well, we fucked up. We meant to add this part of the evidence. That's not on me.
Yeah.
My lawyer defended me to the T, and you guys lost. So you can't try me again for this.
Yeah.
So you guys convicted me, sentenced me to death. You put me in the chair, strapped me in. I went through hell, and I didn't die.
Right.
But I faced the electric chair, which I don't agree with the death penalty at all. But if you inject the dude with all the shit, and it's like he gets, you know, the guy lives, but it was hell. Put him in a cell for the rest of his life, man. You can't make him do that shit again. That's crazy.
Now, does this fall in the same category as somebody like, you know, we heard the ones where people die, and then they come back in jail. It wasn't that like a story where somebody like died and then they brought him back, and it was like, hey, I served life.
Oh no, I haven't heard of that. I think you might have watched the Twilight Zone.
Where did I see that though?
He died and then he came back.
Oh, no,
you know what I think you might be describing is something that, like, I think I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
Like, his heart stopped, and then maybe they jolted his heart back, and it's like, I served life. No. No, this doesn't fall into that category. That's a good try.
I saved life.
If you think I wouldn't try that, if you think I'm not trying that, I'm pulling that card. Like, did I die? Yeah, you were dead for about 30 seconds.
Okay.
Well, then I served life.
Yeah.
Where's my bags? I'm free to go. You need Johnny Cochran to get you out of that one.
Call Bertram.
Yeah, you gotta call Bertrand DeBlanc.
Oh, Bertrand, okay.
If it's not Bertrand DeBlanc or Johnny Cochran, you're out of luck.
Yeah, for sure.
Johnny Cochran be like, if the defibrillator went beep,
yep,
you gotta put him back on the streets.
Wow.
You know, they'd be like, you know what? Case closed.
Applaud.
Yeah. So after that quote, he went on to, you know, really get invested into the case further. And so when he started to look deeper into the case, he began to have different views on the teenager's guilt as he gathered that Francis was not initially arrested for the murder of Thomas, but rather miles away from where the murder took place for false drug charges and unrelated reasons. Francis was visiting one of his sisters in Port Arthur when he was arrested on suspicion of being a drug dealer's accomplice, according to reports. When the police could not connect him to the drug dealer, they started questioning him about the murder of Thomas after they had allegedly found the murdered pharmacist's wallet and identification card in Francis's possession. So when you put it under that guise, them happening to just find this guy's wallet and ID card on this kid that they just happened to pick up miles away from this murder happened 9 months later.
Yeah.
Is a little fishy. Because you could have his wallet in evidence and his ID card in evidence. And if I did kill somebody and steal from their house, I probably wouldn't be walking around 9 months later with their ID card in my pocket. You know, maybe the wallet, because those wallets were very good quality back then. Maybe the wallet. But like, they wouldn't know it was his wallet if the ID card wasn't in there.
Right.
So why would he still be walking around with a wallet with an ID card in there? I'm not saying that nobody would be that stupid. I'm just saying it definitely a lawyer should bring that up.
Yeah.
With no legal representation at any point during the interrogation, they reportedly pressed him, and within minutes, they had a signed confession from Francis for the murder and a second confession the following day. So I'd like to know what pressed means. You know, when we live in this era of there being a bit more of a microscope on the way that investigations and interrogations are done and coming off of the Central Park 5 case, and so many other cases where you know about forced confessions and, you know, being beat into signing something or being led when there's nobody in the court in the interrogation room to defend you or tell you you don't have to say anything, how these techniques that these detectives have can lead people to sign up for things that they didn't do.
Yeah.
So they say they pressed him, and within minutes they had a signed confession. So what do you think pressed looked like when a 54-year-old white man in 1944 was killed and you got a 17-year-old black kid in an interrogation room with no representation around? I'm sure that pressing was pretty harsh.
Yeah.
And that's just a guess. It's just speculation, but I'm speculating with confidence. Reports said that the gun used in the murder wasn't examined for fingerprints, while the bullets found in Thomas's body were not matched with the gun that they had even found. What is more is that the gun and the bullets were lost before the trial while in transit to the FBI for analysis.
Wow.
So they didn't even have the gun or the bullets. So they had no evidence other than his signed confession, really. On the night of Thomas's murder, one of his neighbors also claimed to have seen a car's headlights in Thomas's driveway. Francis couldn't drive. But none of these factors were taken into consideration when he was sentenced to death. So all of this stuff was readily available, and his lawyer brought up, I mean, this is a beatable case.
Yeah.
Whether
he had Bertrand.
If he had Bertrand DeBlanc from the beginning, yeah. Oh, this guy would have walked. Now, again, I don't know if Willie Francis is guilty or not, but I do know that this is a beatable case.
Yeah.
If you have a competent lawyer who goes, so bring the neighbor up. The neighbor says they saw a car leaving this guy's house late at night. Okay, well, Willie can't drive. Willie's confession was forced. He was beat. Put Willie on the stand to say, they beat me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? The gun and the bullets don't were match. Lost. They're gone. Whether oh. or not they, we don't
what
have
the
one, them.
What the ones they said it didn't.
The gun didn't match the bullets.
Right.
And also, we don't even they have lost. The gun or the bullets. Right. They're not here. Where are they? Does the prosecution have these things? No? Okay. This is ridiculous. And you can walk. This is a beatable case. With these factors at hand, DeBlanc faced the Louisiana Pardons Board on May 31st, 1946. But his arguments couldn't stop the poor black teenager from getting another date fixed for a second execution.
Mm.
DeBlanc then took the case to the Supreme Court. That's how much he believed in this. He then took the case to the Supreme Court with the help of J. Skelly Wright, a maritime lawyer in Washington. But things didn't go as expected, as the nine justices ruled against Francis 5-4
Damn.
A day after the boy's 18th birthday.
Mm.
Not giving up, DeBlanc made moves to get Francis a proper trial after he found out that one of Francis's executioners had been drunk while setting up the electric chair. But Francis was denied a new trial. If he had gotten a new trial, DeBlanc would have beat this case. Mm-hmm. And I think they knew that. I think they knew how flimsy the evidence was, and that's why they denied a new trial. Because they were like, this kid's going to walk, and now this 54-year-old white man's death goes back to being unsolved. And you got a whole jurisdiction of people furious that the killer was let out,
yeah,
you know, in their eyes. When really it's possible that just this was a miscarriage of justice and an innocent man was freed. But instead of the optics for them looking bad, they go, yeah, no new trial. The trial was done and everything. And if it was me, I would have gone, okay, well, if the trial was done, the execution was done too.
Yeah.
So why is he still in jail? Everything's done. If everything was done, then everything was done. So why is he still in jail? He was executed. So like I said, DeBlanc did not give up. He had plans to take this as far as he could take it. And he later told Francis that he would take the case to the Supreme Court again, but the boy asked him not to, as he didn't want any more stress, saying, I'm ready to die.
He's fed up, man.
Yeah, I can't imagine what it's been like. You know, we did that story about the girl I went to middle school with, Deanna Green, and I learned some things about what being electrocuted is and what's happening to your body when that current is going through you. And I can't imagine what that pain feels like. And then to survive that, I would assume he has burns, permanent muscle damage. I would assume he hasn't just bounced back from that. I would assume he's probably in pain every day of his life.
Yeah.
At least for the couple of years that he was fighting this case. It's not like this is some crazy accident and now he's just fine. Like, I'm sure that came with all kind of problems. He's already on trial for murder. He doesn't see a way out of this. He's like, man, I just fuck it. This isn't going to end well. And that's sad because he lost faith in the justice system. He probably never had it, but that was the rock bottom for him was like, oh, it doesn't. If you go again, they're going to say no again.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't going to go my way. And so he gave up. And on May 9th, 1947, almost a year after the first execution attempt, Francis found himself in the electric chair again. This time, it was set up correctly. Asked if he had any last words, he replied, nothing at all. At 12:05 p.m., executioners flipped the switch, and Francis was pronounced dead 5 minutes later. He would later be branded the teenager who was executed twice.
Twice, yep. That's crazy. Yeah.
Rest in peace to Willie Francis. I say rest in peace because I don't know if he killed Andrew Thomas. And because I don't know, and because this, I can see this as a beatable case, that I can see that this was a miscarriage of justice. Whether or not he did it, I don't know. Nobody knows that other than Willie and Andrew. Nobody knows what happened to Andrew Thomas that night. But what I do know is there was no physical evidence at the trial. There's a witness saying they saw a car leaving Andrew Thomas's house, and Willie can't drive.
Yeah.
And Willie was picked up on a completely unrelated thing that had nothing, and he was not guilty of that. They basically stopped and frisked him and brought him in because they thought he was connected to some drug dealer. And when they couldn't pin him for that.
Because he was in the area, right? Or something like that?
He was in the area of the drug dealer. Oh, okay. But not in the area of Andrew Thomas's murder. Again, also, this is 9 months later. This isn't the night after Andrew Thomas's death. Andrew Thomas has been dead for 9 months. The case has been unsolved. And then when they can't get this guy for this thing that they picked him up for, they start asking him questions about Andrew Thomas, and they just coincidentally find Andrew Thomas's wallet with his ID in this kid's pocket. I mean, that is a string of coincidences that, I mean, are kind of hard to believe. Not kind of, very.
No, we just got him here, so let's put it on him.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it sounds like, and I feel like a lawyer, a good lawyer, like Bertrand DeBlanc, would have been able to prove that if that's who he had from the beginning. Way more than a guy that just sat there and didn't say anything.
Yeah, what? We don't know his name?
Nah, we don't know his name. It's not as fly as Bertrand DeBlanc, so it doesn't really matter. He can go fuck himself. Shout out to Bertrand DeBlanc for, really, that's a strong, like, to stand up and say, yes, this guy is accused of killing my friend, but this is wrong. And so I'm going to lend my expertise to this situation. And then in the process of that, being convinced that something wrong's happening here. He didn't do this.
Yeah.
That's a very powerful story. And I kind of just stumbled upon that. I was just looking for a story to do. And that kind of jumped out at me and spoke to me as I read it. And when I did some more research, I was like, oh my God, wow, that's crazy. You know, to get executed, survive the execution. And then they're like, okay, well, we're doing it again. And then fighting that. And unfortunately losing. But yeah, that was the story of Willie Francis, the boy who died twice.
Wow.
Yeah. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, it's Fran's turn to tell you some fucked up shit. So stick around.
Welcome back. It's my turn to go. My affirmative murder this week is about the Green Widow.
The Green Widow?
The Green Widow.
Okay.
I got a story from Oxygen.com. Mm,
great site. Great channel.
Yeah. So many killer wives have been dubbed Black Widows over the years. Mm-hmm. A tribute to the tiny red and black spider whose females are known for the post-consumption of their mates.
Yeah.
Prosecutors and the press dubbed Mary Ellen Samuels the Green Widow. Born in 1947, Mary Ellen Gurnick grew up an all-American girl in sunny Southern California. As a teenager, she spent her free time at drive-in movies, Disneyland, and chasing boys at local dances.
Mm.
Friend Barbara Favola told Snap that she was very pretty, adding, when we would go out and meet guys, it was always Mary Ellen they would focus on.
Mm. Sounds like a little bit of a hater, friend.
Did she?
I sound a little salty.
Just a little bit. Well, we've been in places where it's like this group of girls is like, oh, that's the best looking one.
So yeah, yeah, of course. But I'm just saying, I don't know if necessarily. All the girls. Yeah, I don't know if all the girls like. It's so awesome that my friend is prettier than me, and all the guys pay attention.
You know,
they're
a little salty, but you know, they're not gonna come outright saying that.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I'm saying my girl Barb was like, I mean, she thought she was cute. She thought she was all that.
Yeah. So one boy who had a crush on her was 2 years her junior, and one of her neighbors. His name was Bob Samuels. Too shy to ask her out as a teen, Bob watched from afar as Mary Ellen moved on in life.
Mm.
Got married and had a daughter. Meanwhile, he became a successful Hollywood cameraman. In 1980, their paths crossed again, and they started dating. Bob started out smitten with her as a young child and was completely enamored of her when he met her, then again as an adult. So he probably was like, I wanted you back in the day.
Yeah.
We crossed paths again. It's meant to be.
My chance.
Meant to be. And I'm rich.
Yeah. So. Oh, you know, it's a little bit of like vindictiveness. Like, oh, yeah. Now I can get you.
Yeah.
You might have turned me down before, but now I'm living pretty nice. Oh, he was, I'm a successful cameraman.
Yeah, I had the confidence.
Yeah. Then.
So I know
the whole world, Bob's name rings out.
For sure, for sure.
You need something filmed, you call Bob.
Yeah. So prosecutor Jan Marazzi told Snap within 6 months they were married. Things got off to a good start for the Samuels. They got a house in suburban Northridge in the San Fernando Valley. And according to Barbara, Bob got along great with Mary Ellen's daughter, Nicole, whom he adopted. Husband and wife, however, were a study in contrast. Bob was hardworking and down to earth, but Mary Ellen liked fast cars, sexy clothes, and excitement. The couple fought over money constantly. Bob eventually bought a Subway sandwich franchise and made his wife the manager.
In the 80s?
Yeah.
That was probably peak Subway time, too. Yeah. They were getting those lies off about eat a sandwich and lose weight.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how they continue to.
Do they still do that? They don't even do that now.
I don't think so, because it's just not true.
Yeah. I forgot they used to do that.
They used to be like, if you eat a sandwich full of meat and bread.
Big jeans. Like those.
Oh, well, we don't speak about that guy anymore. You know he ended up being a creepy pedophile.
Oh, yeah.
Jared isn't a part of the campaign anymore. Yeah, he's in prison. Or at least I was. I forgot about him. But they used to, even before Jared, I lost 500 pounds eating sandwiches.
Yeah.
One of the biggest lies America's ever told.
I forgot they used to do that. That's crazy. They fight over money all the time. They bought a Subway sandwich franchise.
He was like, here, keep yourself busy with this Subway.
Exactly. Yep. He made his manager wife. They needed the extra cash that it would bring in. He hoped it would give Mary Ellen a sense of purpose.
No, she was just bored.
No. And Dave was like, I need to make some extra money because you're
draining me.
You're draining me.
Yeah, yeah.
In October 1986, Bob came home to find a note from Mary Ellen in the kitchen counter saying she was leaving him.
Oh, wow.
The Dear John letter included statements like, our marriage had gotten stale, things just didn't work, things just didn't work out, and I hope we can be friends, but I can't live with you. So, probably, earn all his money.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm leaving, so now he can't buy you the shit you want. Mm-hmm. You don't want to work.
So you've changed.
Yeah. So I don't want
to
be
You've changed. You used to have money when we first started dating.
Yeah.
And then I spent all that money, and now you like... don't have money anymore and are acting like money's such a big deal. I don't like that about you. Yeah. You've changed. I'm out of here.
So Mary Ellen filed for divorce, but Bob hoped they could reconcile. They agreed to a trial separation with Bob kicking in an extra $1,500 a month to cover her living expenses. Mary Ellen still had the sandwich shop, and she and Nicole moved into a nearby condo where mother and daughter started living the high life, going to clubs, with Bob picking up the bill.
Wow. So they're just out partying and stuff, and he's paying for them to be while they're separated. They're separated, and he's paying for probably her rent too.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Love. The things we do for love.
Wow. So one of the things she liked to do was go bar hopping. Now I want to know the age difference between
her daughter and her. Daughter.
Yeah, I don't know.
They got a whole show about that on TLC. Like it's called like I'm Dating My Mom or something like that. It's about mother-daughter couple combinations who like live together and party together and how it's unhealthy and stuff. Mm. I think it's called I'm Dating My Mom, but I could be wrong. It might have like a more clever name than that, but it's the same general idea. Like me and my mom are crazy as hell.
Yeah.
We go to cowboy bars and we ride the mechanical bull, and all the boys go crazy. And then her mom's like 60. She's like, yeah, sometimes they can't tell if I'm the daughter or she's the daughter. Like, come on. No, it's not true. Yeah. It just isn't true.
We can clearly see the difference.
We can tell. I promise you, we can tell.
So one of the things they like to do was go bar hopping, and she would dress up in her sort of Sunday best as somebody mentioned to the news reporter.
Mm.
So on the afternoon of December 9th, 1988, the LAPD received a 911 call from Bob Samuels' Northridge address. Mary Ellen Samuels met them at the front door. Inside, her estranged husband lay dead from a shotgun blast to the head.
Jesus.
She said that she and Nicole had stopped by to drop off their dog for the weekend when they discovered the body. Now, I don't know. They didn't say anything about, like, where's the dog? There's no dog here that you dropped off. I don't know. It just didn't. Maybe they did have the dog in. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that was, they already had the dog, and they was like, we're going to use this as an excuse.
Yeah.
I pictured him saying, and the cops go, you know, there's no dog
in
the house. You don't have a dog. So he had been dead for a couple days. While the house appeared to have been ransacked, police say that the crime scene was not consistent with a break-in.
It's like shit was just thrown around.
Yeah. It looked like an inside job.
Yeah.
When police questioned Mary Ellen down at the station, she wore a low-cut dress and flirted with the officer.
Oh, she tried to basic instinct them? Like, I'm going to distract you guys into scratching me off the suspects list.
Yep.
Well played.
At one point, she put her hand on one of the detective's bald head and talked about how she liked bald guys.
All right.
Within days of
you
Bob's...
know, you know, Prince William just got named the sexiest bald man in the world. He looks, first of all, he looks like a thumb. And, like, Jason Statham's right there.
Yeah.
Jason Statham's right there, man. Come on. Bald. The Rock is bald.
I'm about to say him.
Yeah, The Rock is bald, man. That guy's gorgeous. Come on. Prince William looks like a chewed up piece of gum. Continue.
You don't agree with that?
No. No. I'm more furious about that than when they named Blake Shelton sexiest man alive.
Hmm.
Are you familiar with Blake Shelton?
I think, I know he's an actor, right?
No, he's a country singer, but he's on The Voice.
Blake Shelton.
He's on The Voice. Bold?
Oh, wait.
No.
Oh, the guy that date Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
No.
He looks like a bully
from a Simpsons
cartoon.
No.
It's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. It's crazy. It's crazy. Jason Momoa has never won that.
Who's that?
Aquaman.
Oh, yeah.
That dude fucks, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was more mad about the bald thing than the sexiest man alive. And I was very mad when Blake Shelton, he took his photo in a flannel shirt.
Yeah.
You took your cover photo in a flannel shirt? I guess he wanted to stay on brand of the country thing, but yeah, sorry.
I don't even think I can name like five better looking guys than
I know guys that like just I know that look better than Blake Shelton, that look better than Blake Shelton.
He must have paid. He must have
paid.
Oh
man, I think it was that they were like, "Oh wait, he's dating Gwen Stefani."
Yeah.
So he must be handsome, right? I mean, if he got Gwen Stefani smelling like cow shit.
Yeah.
maybe we don't see it.
Oh, something. I don't know.
Not to go off on a tangent this, but my theory is that it coincided with Donald Trump being president and that whole the middle of America and, you know, this is the heart of the country is like Wisconsin and shit. And I think they were like,
that's true,
let's get a white beefy guy who sings country music to be sexiest man alive because it's all about middle America right now.
Maybe his accent or something like that. Maybe
yeah,
that
I think it was just like the stereotype of what America was going through at that time of like people are forgetting about the middle of the country. And I think Blake Shelton might have represented that in some way.
Nobody's like, forgetting about the middle of the country.
No, and it's not like average looking white dudes from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
They're doing just fine.
Right.
And they're not the sexiest man on the planet.
So within days of Bob's death, Mary Ellen and Nicole moved back into Bob's house.
After he's dead.
After a couple of days, they moved back into the house, put the sandwich shop up for sale, filed a claim to collect the money from his insurance policy. Because they wasn't divorced yet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they was going to, but it didn't happen yet.
But this is within days, you're saying?
Yeah, within days, yep. So when police questioned Bob Samuel's friend, they learned he was planning to finalize his divorce with Mary Ellen. He realized they were never getting back together. Again, he tried to.
And she was playing him.
Yeah, he tried to. So he realized they were never getting back together again. He met with a lawyer and wanted to cut her off financially. So she knew that was coming.
Yeah.
Lucky for Mary Ellen, since they were still married at the time of Bob's death, she inherited almost $500,000 in insurance and assets. She began spending it with a vengeance, buying herself and Nicole fur coats. Sexy
in California?
Yeah. It's not even a lot. That's $500,000, $500,000.
It's
in
not
California.
Fur coat
it's,
money.
It's not a lot of money.
Buying a fleet of fur coats with $500,000?
Hear me out what she was buying. Fur coats for her and her daughter.
So double everything.
Sexy lingerie, high-end leatherware. She got a new boyfriend, right, named Dean Grover. Bought him a $50,000.
Oh, that's the name of a dude that fucks.
Dean Grover. Bought him a $50,000 white Porsche. And they plan to move to Cancun, dropping $180,000 on a condo there.
That's 10% of the money off the car.
And that's not even like putting in dinners and all kinds of other shit.
Running through it.
Blowing it.
And you know she...
That's not a lot about you blowing it like that.
No, and she has the mentality, I can tell by buying fur coats and lingerie, that she's like, I'll take the car outright.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm not doing payments.
This is cash. Yeah. So despite their suspicions, police didn't have much to connect Bob Samuel's murder to his wife. Then in May of 1989, they received an anonymous tip telling them to talk to one of Nicole Samuel's boyfriends, a 27-year-old wannabe wise guy named Jim Bernstein. Follow up.
I think that's the guy that wrote the Bernstein Bears.
Jim Bernstein?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, that's the name of the guy, I think, anyway, but it's not actually Jim Bernstein. This is a different Jim Berenstein.
Yeah. So follow-up interviews with Mary Ellen's fellow bar, one of her little boyfriends, fellow bar that she met in fucking mm-hmm. bars, revealed she had actively been trying to hire a hitman to kill her husband. So she just been out, like, meeting guys and like, hey, you know, I kind of need somebody to murder my husband.
Always, like, there's a famous video on YouTube of if you look up Dahlia DiPolito, she was arrested for trying to hire a hitman to kill her husband, but it was an undercover cop. And I'm always like, if you do wake up one day and get the idea that, like, I need a hitman, you think you can just go and just into a bar and find a hitman? You need to go, like, on the dark web. You need to know somebody in the, like, a mobster. You need to know. You can't just be like, anybody know a hitman?
Well, she got the looks, apparently, and she has the money. So she probably was like, the confidence is
anybody.
High.
Anybody can be a hitman. Anybody will kill somebody for
or
me.
Nobody, you think that's I don't, what she thought? I don't think nobody is going to question or like say something to me because she walking in with fur coats, pulling up in Porsches and shit. She don't care.
Man. Yeah, true.
She don't care. She's in bars.
I'm just wondering what is like, if you're like looking for a hitman, what is hitman energy?
Oh, I got you.
What's big hitman energy where you go like, that guy looks like he murders people. Yeah, like, yeah. How are you walking up to people? How are you making the connection?
Or bring it up in the conversation.
Exactly, because most people do it wrong. Every video I've ever seen about a woman or a man who have hired somebody to kill their spouse is talking to an undercover cop. So, yeah. Like, I'm like, where? If you do know, don't tell me. I don't want to get involved in anything. Don't send me any links or anything. And I don't mean like, oh, I'm dating a guy, I'm fucking him, so I pay him money and I tell him we're going to split the money. I mean like a guy that's like, yeah, leave the money in the envelope. I'm going to go pick it up. Tell me the day. Make sure you take the kids away from the house. I'm going to do it on Wednesday.
You're not finding one of those just walking to a bar.
That's what I mean. Like, but that's what all the videos
that's
are like
a very intelligent.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like all the videos is like a girl sitting in a passenger seat like, so listen, I have 10 grand when you do it and then 10 grand afterwards and then I just need them gone. And they're like, okay, we'll get it done. But I'm an undercover police officer. Like a real hitman, you don't just find them.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Probably don't even see him. You don't meet.
No, at all. No, you don't know. You never find out what the hitman looks like. They're like, leave the money and wrapped up in a newspaper on that bus stop.
Yeah.
And walk away.
Yep. Oh yeah. So she walked to the bar, was just telling people, hey, I need to hire a hitman to kill her husband.
That's not how you do that at all.
Yeah. And it said that she doesn't seem to care who heard her soliciting his murder. Rumored had been that Bernstein had murdered Bob on Mary Ellen's orders. So cops brought Mary Ellen Samuels and Jim Bernstein in for questioning on the same night. Mary Ellen held the line, denying she had anything to do with her husband's murder, but Bernstein was rattled. When they put them together in the same room, he told her, He's going to arrest one of us or both of us right here, right now, tonight for the murder.
And it's not going to be me.
He says he knows 100% that you and I did this.
Mm.
Despite the cops' hope that they would get a confession out of one of them, neither cracked.
Oh, wow.
So they were forced to let them go. 4 weeks later, a couple discovered a dead body along a remote mountain road in Ventura County, California. The body was badly decomposed. But fingerprints revealed it's Jim Bernstein.
Oh my God, I knew it! They're covering up their tracks! That's the worst thing to do after you just got pulled in for an interrogation. She's like, this guy's gonna crack next time they bring us in. Kill him. Matalo.
Yep. So according to Matt Rowe, his boss at the electronics store where he worked had been planning to tell the police about his role in Bob Samuels' murder. He called me up and said, I'm going to tell the police what I know. Rowe told Snap. And that's the last time I talked to him.
Wow.
As word of Jim Bernstein murder got around, Mary Ellen's drinking buddies got spooked and started talking. I think they were a little afraid of Mary Ellen.
Mm.
Ventura County Sheriff
Well, I mean,
Tom,
she has an infinite amount of resources.
Yeah.
$250,000 for him.
Yeah. So that was the sheriff told Tom. Sheriff Tom told Snap, but they were also afraid of what they may be charged as co-conspirators.
Mm.
A $1,500 check written around the time Bernstein disappeared led police to two men, Paul Gall and Daryl Ray Edwards, who they were told were hired by were hired to kill Bernstein. Mm. When police caught up with Gall, he told them everything.
Of course.
$1,500.
$1,500. Yep. There's also something hilarious to me. This is all fucked up, but it's all, there's something hilarious to me about somebody thinking that they have, you know, Jeff Bezos resources and their money's slowly, not even slowly, their money is every day they have less and less money, as but they're still like, I need somebody taken out. Yeah. I'm the queen pin. And it's like, you have $70,000 left in your account. So
you better spend half of it trying to get somebody killed. So when police went to arrest Mary Ellen Samuels at her North Ridge home, they discovered a photograph they felt showed motive. Taken by boyfriend Dean Grover in Cancun, it showed Mary Ellen in the nude, her private parts covered in $20,000 cash, grinning ear to ear. The photograph picture is above in this article here. Uh-huh. Would feature that it was definitely going to play a big part in the upcoming murder trial.
Well, it definitely shows your personality and, you know, it's definitely, they would definitely use that as an attack on her character.
For sure. So a picture is worth 1,000 words, but this picture was probably worth 10,000 words, say prosecutor Jam. He of the jury could look at this woman seated at the console table, and then they looked at the photograph of this cold-blooded killer. In April of 1994, Mary Ellen Samuels' trial for the double murders of Bob Samuels and Jim Bernstein got underway. Paul Gall and Daryl Ray Edwards both testified against her, and the prosecution portrayed her as cold, calculating, and money-hungry. Mm-hmm. Against her own lawyer's advice, her daughter Nicole testified on her mother's behalf, saying Bob Samuels had sexually abused her, and an allegation his family was like, no, this is not the character that you're portraying my child to be.
Yeah.
And that never happened. Mm-hmm. But they was like, they get why she did it, because it's like she had to do something to try to save her mother.
Yeah.
That's not who my child was. So I don't believe her. Bob wasn't that type of person. Robert Samuel's sister, Susan, told the Los Angeles Times at the time, like mother, like daughter, after all, she is fighting for her mother's life. Mm-hmm. The jury didn't believe her either. On July 1st, 1994, the jury found Mary Ellen Samuels guilty on both counts of first-degree murder. 2 months later, Superior Court Judge Mitchell followed their recommendation and sentenced her to death.
Mm.
Speaking of her crimes, Hoff said, the defendant involved many people, even her own teenage daughter. For their part, Paul Gall and Daryl Ray Edwards each pleaded guilty to second-degree murder and received a sentence of 15 years to life.
What?
Yeah.
So orchestrating a hit gets you more time and a more severe punishment than killing somebody.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. So Mary Ellen Samuels is one of 20 women currently on death row in the state of California, all of whom are being held at the Central California Women's Facility, where you can reach out to them. Yeah. Now, 71, she has been in prison.
There's a moratorium on death penalties in California. So
it is.
Yeah, they probably will never get executed.
Oh. Yeah, so now 71, she has been in prison for almost 24 years with no execution date set. Paul Gall was paroled in 2009, but according to Los Angeles Times, he was returned to custody in 2011 for drug and alcohol abuse. Neither he nor Daryl Ray Edwards are currently listed as prisoners in the California Department of Corrections. No charges were ever been brought against Nicole Samuels, and she has been she has never been implicated in the murder of Bob Samuels. So that was the murder of Bob Samuels. About the Green Widow who went from
why
you
is
know,
it green? Oh, money.
Because money.
Mm,
it went
it.
From I just need somebody to
that
kill
probably
my husband,
did,
and then it got worse.
Yeah, and that probably didn't. Like you said, something else in there was like the prosecution was like a picture says 1,000 words. This picture says
10,000 words.
Like I bet that didn't play well in the court, and I also bet when they were like, she's something like a Black Widow, but she loves money, so she's a Green Widow.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, anyway. They're like, yeah, thanks for that. Can you continue building your case? The Green Widow. Wow, yeah, man. Money.
Yep.
Make you do some dangerous things, man.
Yeah, we want to live that high life, man. And you need to try to sustain that.
Yeah.
Gotta do what you gotta do. She like, I need this money. I gotta buy me some more fur coats.
I just don't understand how somebody could like be so money hungry, love money so much, love to spend money, and have no drive. Like, you don't want to earn. You don't have
he
any
gave
desire
her
to
opportunity. People don't get opportunities like that for somebody to buy them a sandwich shop and be like, you manage this.
Here's a Subway. You do this well, maybe we get another Subway. One? We can have a chain of Subways. No, I just want the money.
I just
want
to spend.
That's crazy.
And you go to hire somebody, and then you need to hire somebody to kill the person that you hired to kill. That's crazy.
I want the money. I always want the money going out, never want the money coming in. But anyway, that was a great story, friend. It was full of intrigue. The Jim Berenstein thing I did not see coming. That was crazy. That was like, I mean, that's really some Hollywood shit. That's really something from a movie. And she just really was living her life, dressed in a fur coat and lingerie, putting hits out on people.
Yeah.
Whew, crazy.
Got rid of to him, too.
Man. 1500.
He's talking too much. Gotta go.
Here's $1,200.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get into these good vibes, man. I don't know who goes first, friend. Who's going first? Okay, cool. All right, yeah. Let me get you some music queued up.
Okay,
sorry about that. Yeah. Let's get these vibes going. Kick things off, friend. Please and thank you.
So welcome to our good vibe segment. I mean, I think this episode we really need good vibes. Especially in the beginning. First segment was, you know, it was
a little bit of a bummer, yeah, for sure.
Some tough news to take. Now we in the last part of the show when we get to walk away with a smile.
Yes.
You guys get to walk away with a smile. So my good vibe this week is about a 98-year-old woman moves into the care home to take care of her 80-year-old son.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That gave me chills already just you saying that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they say being a parent is a never-ending job. But in this case of Ada Keating, 98, and her eldest son, Tom, 80, it couldn't be more true.
So she had him when she was 18.
Yeah. So Ada and her late husband, Harry, had 4 children, Tom, Barbara, Margie, and Janet.
Classic names.
Yes.
Those are 100-year-old names. Those are from hundreds of years ago.
Since 2016, her son Tom has been living in the Moss View Care Home in Liverpool, England. As the devoted mother that she is, Ada couldn't let her son be all alone and soon joined him there so they could spend more time together.
Wait, so she's not in a care home?
No.
Wow. That's crazy. No.
Yes.
She's a sturdy old bird.
Yes. So she was like, yeah, I'm a move.
I have my own home.
Yep, I have my own home.
I farm.
Yep.
They put her son in the home.
Yep. Wow. So like she said, she couldn't let her son be
alone.
Alone in the home. So they spend a whole bunch of time together. They're playing games, watching their favorite television series. And that's almost 80 plus years of a relationship where you go, you remember this show?
Oh yeah. Man.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's crazy. So they watch their favorite TV shows. And as Ada put it, you never stop being a mom. I say goodnight to Tom in his room every night, and I'll go and say good morning to him. I thought this was...
That's beautiful.
Just pull at your heartstrings, man.
Yeah, that's
it's a beautiful story. 98 years old.
Yeah.
Your son is 80, and it's like,
still,
y'all back...
It's still your baby.
Still together.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
So I saw this. I was like, I didn't even look for another stuff. Like, I'm doing this.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely... That's
yeah,
absolutely
so I thought it was beautiful.
That's
beautiful.
That's very heartwarming. My good vibe story is actually just more of a way for me to just talk to you, see where your head is at, and because my good vibes actually just found this list of these are the top 20 things that people want to do post-COVID, like when they go on vacation.
Yeah.
So I just want to kind of go through them and see what you would like to do, what you're like, nah, I'm not into that. So I just thought it would be interesting to see because things are starting to open back up.
Yeah.
Now, there's rumors going around that, you know, I think that the first announcement has been made. There's going to be at least one team has come out and announced, like, you have to have the vaccine to come to our basketball games.
Oh, yeah.
Next season or something like that. So I would assume that maybe travel would follow suit with that. Like, if you don't have the vaccine, you can't go to this country. So just putting that out there for people. But things are opening up. Things are going to start to be able, you're going to be able to start to do things again.
Yeah.
So number one is going for a nice walk in the countryside. So like going on a nice, beautiful scenic, like just these are just things that people want to do. Go to another country and like go like explore their wildlife and their nature.
You can do that now.
Yeah, but like, you know.
I know, walking around
Baltimore woods, like go somewhere else.
Got you.
And go walk around and explore their nature and stuff. Are you like a nature hiker?
Yeah.
Okay.
We do that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good, man. That's good. Let's get some fresh air. I've already explained my traumatic experience. I got lost in the woods and, you know, I tried to act
it
like,
off.
It wasn't very smart, but we were on trails though. It wasn't, we weren't just like lost in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Up to, visit castles and other historic buildings.
I would love to do that.
Yeah. I did that in Ireland. It's really crazy. Yeah. See, that's the thing. Like,
are they abandoned or no?
Yeah, well, I mean, they are like preserved. Okay, so gotcha. There's you can't go in them, mm-hmm. but they're maintained by people that, you know, maintain public spaces or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's really cool that, you know, when you see something when and they go, this building's 3,000 years old, because the U.S. is a baby.
Yeah.
Like nothing. Yeah. No matter how old you make a church look here, it's 80 years old tops.
Or it's a duplicate of something
from over there. Yeah. When you go see the real thing, like a real Roman castle, you know, you feel it, you know. So it really, that really was one of the coolest things, to just really see something when they go, this is 1,000 years old, and it's like, wow, I can't even fathom. I've never seen something 1,000 years old up close, because it just, I mean, the furthest you can go back in the U.S. is, you know, 400 years, you know. So that's nothing though in comparison to some shit where like a battle happened here 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
So that really is cool. Just, I like going and just. I really can't wait to be able to go to travel again. I really got the bug, and then the whole world closed.
Yep.
So that was fun. This number four is a big one for me, is to see the Northern Lights. That is one of my biggest goals.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do it for my 30th birthday, was go to Iceland and rent like a really dope house and just, you know, have some friends and just have like, basically how you would, like if you went to like the Poconos or some kind of a snow cabin. But do that in Iceland.
That sounds cool.
And hopefully see the Northern Lights. So that 30 isn't going to looking like it's going to be the opportune time to do it. But I would love to do that at some point in my life. So see the Northern Lights would be big. Swimming pool lounging, like at a resort, which I recommend for you and Steph for sure. Like when Max is a little older and you can drop him off somewhere, you and Steph need to go to like a fucking Hard Rock in Punta Cana and just all expenses.
Yeah, I want to go Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one. Hawaii's dope. I've been doing some learning about, you know, people coming and gentrifying and stealing the land in Hawaii, and that's not cool, but it is a beautiful place, and I would like to visit it respectfully. I'm not trying to go and be all American and, oh, I'm going to move here and take over, you know, like respect the locals, respect the natives of Hawaii, but it is a beautiful country. Yeah. I mean, it's a beautiful island, and I would like to do that as well. Going on a boat trip, not really a boat guy, right? See, all my 30th birthday plans, you're ruining.
You plan on going in the boat?
No, what I wanted to do was either go down to Miami or something like that.
And rent a boat?
And I wanted to do a charter of a nice boat and go deep sea fishing. And then
sounds fun.
And then have the guys on the boat that, like, if you catch something, they'll cook it up, cut it up and everything. Or you get lunch either way, but they'll cut, you know, I caught a marlin. Okay, we'll have him go have marlin and a pineapple for lunch.
I'll do that.
Okay.
I'll do that.
I'm not talking about going out on a dinghy.
If it's a plane.
I only do shit.
Thank
you. I only do the fly, like, I do glamping everything. Whatever the glamping version of, like, going out and sleeping in tents in the woods. Like, no. I won't sleep in a tent in the woods.
Yeah.
I'll go in a cabin.
Yeah.
Or, like, a tent that's huge and has furniture inside of it. I always do the bougie version of things.
Yeah.
So I'll give you that.
It got to be something planned out like this.
I'm on some boat where I'm rowing it or I got to steer it.
No, I'm not with none of that. We got to study how the water's going to be, because
it's going to be a beautiful day.
Yeah, I can't.
It's going to be a double decker boat, and then it's got like a kitchen and a chef. That's what I'm talking about, going out on a boat. Let's see what else we got on here. So let's go ahead and wrap this up, because this is some of these I just know you wouldn't like. Visit a rainforest. I don't really want to do that. Visit a theme park. You know I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
but I think you want. You probably want to go to Six Flags. Like
what? When they open up?
Yeah, immediately.
We are in there.
You are. You are in
there.
You are
in there. Getting all the rides.
So come on. You're talking crazy now, man. Let's see a volcano.
That would be awesome.
I would love to do that. That sounds awesome. And they have volcanoes in Hawaii. But I actually saw a video of a volcano that like started to erupt, and some people were on the island getting like a lesson about the thing. They had to get the fuck out of there because the fumes are toxic.
Oh,
you can't
shit.
Breathe. Like if you're by a volcano and there's smoke coming from the volcano, you need to get the fuck away from there immediately.
I would love to.
It's not just about the lava, like the sulfur
on top of it.
Of a volcano?
Yeah. If it's not,
I don't know, but like how would you look? You'd have to have like a plane that has like a bottomless floor, like a glass floor or something.
Nah, if you're over something, right?
Maybe. I mean, if the plane turned and like,
don't do that.
I'm sure you can fly over it, but if you're talking about being able to look in it, you got to do some maneuvering.
Okay. I still would love to see one though.
Oh, I would love to be on a volcanic island. Yeah. Let's see. Watch a geyser erupt. I've always wanted to go to Yellowstone, which is not something that's hard to do. I think it's in Montana, wherever Yellowstone is. It's a national park and they have geysers and hot springs and stuff. And they, you know, so
you got wild animals.
Yeah, I think there's like
dangerous wild animals.
I don't know. Well, yeah, probably coyotes and stuff.
Hmm. They eat humans?
Coyotes?
Yeah.
If enough of them are together and they feel like shit. You're trying them, yeah, if they're hungry, they'll fuck you up.
Good luck.
They'll eat some Fran. But,
catch me first.
Like, I'll get all into, like, going and explore other countries, but, like, this country's so huge that there's still stuff I want to see here, you know? Like, even though it's a mountain full of racists and colonists, I kind of want to see Mount Rushmore in person. I feel like just the fact that somebody did that is impressive. I want to see it, too. Even if they stole the land from Native Americans, all of that I get. But, like, they still carved art into mountains. That's, like, that's an amazing feat. I'd like to see that in person, you know? And a ton of other stuff that this country has to offer that I should just go do that as well as go see other countries. The United States is so fucking huge, man. Yeah. And there's probably some parts of the country I'm like, I don't need to go to see that. But there are a ton of like monuments and things in this country that I would love to go see. So that's on my list as well. Going on a zip line. Now, I don't like roller coaster rides, but I maybe would do this.
Zip line?
Yeah, it would need to be like over some. It would need to be like this. The view would need to be worth it. It would need to be like beautiful trees and shit, and it would need to be worth it. And I probably would do a zip lining, and then visiting a desert. No, I'm cool on that. And cave exploration.
Visiting a desert, you get a camel.
Would you want to ride a camel?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, you get a camel. So you
did in Dubai, right? Though I'm definitely going there.
I'm too broke to go to Dubai. If you can't do it right, I wouldn't want to do Dubai. I feel like going to Dubai. I told you about the time I went to Miami and people and a homeless guy asked me for a dollar and I was like, sorry, man, I'm broke. And he was like, you're broke?
Yeah.
Then what the fuck are you doing in South Beach? Like, that hurt me. So I feel like Dubai is like that where they're like, the cover to get into this club is $1,000. I go, oh, shit, I can't come into this club. Well, then the guy goes, well, then, sir, you can't go to any club because that's the minimum cost to get into any club in Dubai.
Well, I want to go. We going to Dubai. We could dress up. It's fly ass shit they put on. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, true. Get all the way into the culture, but you can't. Oh, I'm sure. Oh, yeah, super beautiful. It's Disney. I think it's like Disney World for rich people, but we're not rich.
We'll get there one day.
Yeah. Or we just meet the right people that we can have fun on a budget in Dubai, if that's even possible. Still going to be a couple thousands of dollars, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Dubai's on the list for me for sure. Out. And going off-road driving, I definitely want to do that.
Definitely want to do that.
Too. Do that like in the Dominican Republic or something like that. Yeah, that'd be super cool.
If you don't wear goggles, though, it can get messy.
Oh, get that dust and shit all in your eyes. Oh, man. Eyes all red and irritated. So just a little different change-up. Some fun things to think about as, you know, as we continue to turn this corner and hopefully, as you know, and I know that, you know, as the temperatures rise, as more people get the vaccine, it's going to be more stupid people going out and being dumb. But we are in a time, this is a time to celebrate. Like, the vaccines are starting to trickle down and be more available to people. And I think the world's starting to turn and be able to get back to normal. And so we can fantasize. We can think about what we want to do. What's the first thing you're going to do when you can travel again? What's the first thing you're going to do when you can go anywhere you want again? So those are just a couple of things I wanted to bat around with my buddy Fran and just, you know, really be optimistic and look forward to a time where I can just, like, get a plane ticket and we can go travel somewhere. So that'd be super awesome.
Yeah.
So that's all my good vibes for this week. And, we turn that music down.
You have anything else?
I don't have anything else.
I do have a game that I would like to play.
Ooh,
maybe this could be like potential Patreon content.
Possibly. I'm intrigued.
This game, now, first of all, I don't know if you know this.
I probably don't.
I like to brag about that I have a best friend that likes to watch movies, right? So I go.
You brag?
I go, look, I have a best friend who knows all the actors, who memorizes films and directors and whatnot, and I'll put my money on you every day of the week, twice on Sunday.
Yeah, right? Thank you. That's high praise. I appreciate that. Thank you. Yes, so, I do not have a life, and I watch a lot of movies.
I do have a game that I like to play with you.
Uh-huh.
Now, these movies, these films are from the 90s and 2000s, right?
Good. Okay, great, because I'm not like a cinephile, like I watch movies from 1943 or something like that, but okay.
But it's called Guess This Film, right?
Okay.
But it's terrible descriptions of the film.
Oh, God. Okay. All right. Okay. All right.
So the first one is Kid Comes Out of the Closet.
Kid Comes Out of the Closet. I don't know if that's figuratively or literally. Oh, okay. A kid comes out of the closet. Damn. That's all? That's all. That's the whole thing. Damn, that's tough. Okay. Kid Comes Out of the Closet. Is it Indian in the Cupboard?
No.
Kid Comes Out of the Closet. I might not have seen this movie.
You don't
kid,
know?
A kid comes out of the closet.
I don't know that one.
You don't know that one?
No.
The Chronicles of Narnia.
Oh, okay. I see that. Okay, I see what they're on.
Where it's going? Okay.
Yeah, okay. I got it. Okay.
The next one is cultural appropriation in space.
Cultural appropriation in space. Damn. Cultural appropriation in space. Avatar?
Bingo.
Yeah, okay.
See, man,
I knew you could do this, man. Okay. No, I see. They're trying to trick you on purpose. I got it. Okay. Got it. Okay.
The next one is depressed office worker joins a cult and destabilizes the government.
Oh, Fight Club.
Nope.
That's not Fight Club? Mm-mm. Depressed office worker. What is it? Depressed office worker joins a cult.
Yeah.
And destabilizes the government?
Yeah.
Is that Dude, Where's My Car?
Mm-mm.
A depressed office worker. And it's not Fight Club.
No.
A depressed office worker joins a cult and then destabilizes the government.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's not Fight Club. Depressed office worker. Okay, depressed office worker. Oh, The Matrix?
Yep.
Okay, got it. Okay.
This is amazing. This is wild. Okay. Man drives in a snowstorm to pick up nearby son at the library.
Jack Frost?
Mm.
A man picks up, he drives in a snowstorm to pick up his nearby son at the library. Oh, The Day After Tomorrow.
Yep.
Bingo. Yeah. The Day After Tomorrow.
There's two on here that I got.
Dennis Quaid.
Yeah. Okay. Priest kidnaps child for cult and eventual marriage to politician twice his age.
Again?
Priest kidnaps child for cult and
eventual. Fifth Element. It's not The Fifth Element.
Mm-mm.
Read it again. Priest kidnaps kid.
Priest kidnaps child for cult.
Cult.
And eventual marriage to politician twice his age. Politician.
Priest kid. Oh, Star Wars.
Yep. Bingo.
Yes, Anakin Skywalker.
Small town doctor brings three people closer together.
Human centipede.
Yeah. I got that one too. Unsuspecting boy is seduced by a creepy old loner into a game of crime, terrorism, and incest.
Oh. Blade?
Mm.
Unsuspecting boy is seduced. Okay, so it's some kind of apprentice type of situation.
What?
Harry Potter?
No.
Oh, okay. Unsuspecting boy seduced by an old man into a game. Jumanji.
No.
Damn. Damn.
You don't know?
Nah, let me get one more guess.
Okay.
Okay. An unsuspecting boy. It's not Harry Potter. An unsuspecting boy is seduced by an old man. Creepy old man?
Yeah.
Creepy old man into a game. Is it Back to the Future? No, it wouldn't
yep.
be. It is
Bingo.
Back to the Future?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, awesome. Okay, Back to the Future. Okay.
All right, let's do two more here.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. Alzheimer's, right? Is it
Alzheimer's? Yeah. Alzheimer's.
Alzheimer's patient takes cruise, throws away children's inheritance.
Oh, Titanic.
Yep. Yeah. Bingo.
That's an easy one.
All right. I'm gonna do this one. Let's do tomorrow. You probably
okay.
won't get
yeah,
this
okay.
one.
Okay.
I forgot.
That's it?
Yeah.
I forgot. Memento.
No.
I forgot. That's a tough one, Fran. Give me a second. Hold on. I got this. I forgot. So somebody, they forgot something. I forgot. Forgetting Sarah Marshall? That was stupid. Sorry about that. Sorry, folks. That was dumb. Sorry I said that. I forgot. Is the important? Like,
maybe I guess.
Dot dot dot. I forgot.
Yeah.
I forgot. God damn. Oh, 50 First Dates.
No.
Oh, I don't know then.
Finding Dory.
Oh, not even Finding Nemo. No, I wouldn't have got that at all.
All right, here we go. This one, I think, is good. Animals trip from London to New York.
Oh, no. Animals trip from London to New York.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say Madagascar. It's not Madagascar.
I was gonna say James and the Giant Peach. It's not James and the Giant Peach. Animals trip from London to New York.
Yeah.
Animals trip from London to New York.
Animals take a trip from London to New York.
Animals take a trip from London to New York. It's animals. Is it Aristocats?
No.
No.
I'm amazed at you. Yeah.
Animals take a trip. They take a trip from London. Is it 101 Dalmatians?
No.
Animals take a trip from London to New York. I know somebody's screaming at their phone right now. Animals take a trip from London to New York. That's it. That's nothing. There's nothing else.
Mm-mm.
Animals take a trip. Why would you need to go to New York? Is it? No.
What? Say it.
We Bought a Zoo? Mm-mm. No. Damn. No, I got this. Is zoo in the title?
No.
No. Okay. Animals take a trip from London to New York. Is it Sing?
That's the name of it.
Yeah, that
no,
cartoon.
That's no. Not it. No.
Damn. Animals take a trip from. You got me on that one, man. I don't.
All right. Snakes on a Plane.
That's what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck that.
All right, let's do one. This is the easy. Let's end on the easy one.
Okay, okay, okay.
This is easy. I got this one.
Well, then don't, is it any more?
Yeah.
No, give me
don't
one.
Do that one? Okay. Yeah. All right, let's do this one. Young startup faces severe security issues and a result of a poor IT team.
The Social Network.
No.
What? Say it again.
Young startup faces severe security issues as a result of a poor IT team.
Horrible bosses? Is it a young startup? Is it, fuck, Office Space? Fuck. Is this Fight Club?
No.
No. They all sound like Fight Club to me. Young startup. Is it Dodgeball?
No.
Okay.
Dodgeball.
Severe security. Okay, so they face security. So somebody's hacking into this, their systems. Do you know the movie?
Do I know? Yeah.
You do know?
I've seen a movie, yeah.
Oh, that's what I was, yeah, that's what I mean. It's who's in it?
Who's
can you
in
give
it?
Me one person that's in it?
No, I can't.
All right. So you've seen it.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. That actually helps. So you've seen it. A young startup. And you've seen
Steven Spielberg movie. I can give you that.
Oh, okay. Okay. A young startup faces severe because of an IT team. A young startup. And it's a Steven Spielberg movie. Is it Ready Player One?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. God, no, nobody's seen that fucking shitty movie. Steven Spielberg. Jurassic Park?
Yep.
It's Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
Oh, that is such a fucking generic. That's fuck this. I like this game. I do like this game. But that made me mad. Oh, okay.
Let me show, right. Hit the one I got. This is the one that was easy. Alien comes to Earth for beer and candy, touches little boy with special finger.
Oh, E.T. Oh, yeah, that's good. I like that. That was fun. I really enjoyed doing that. That was fun. Yeah, I like that.
So what? You only got three wrong. You only got two wrong.
Yeah. Out of how many did we do?
We did like maybe like eight.
Okay. Well, that's not bad. I'll take that.
Yeah,
and the ones that I got wrong, what was I? You told me right.
What
I forgot?
Yeah, Finding Dory.
Finding Dory. Yeah, yep. Yeah. Oh, that's. I like that a lot. That was fun. Yeah. We could do that on Patreon.
Yeah,
we could do that on video. If anybody enjoyed that, let us know. Maybe we'll do that again on video. So yeah, we'll make that a Patreon. Make that soup exclusive on Patreon.
Soup
exclusive. Yes. Super exclusive stuff. Yeah. Before we get out of here, some quick recommendations. From my end, first off. Evanescence, new album, Amy Lee. She's phenomenal. Great album. Rock, but like operatic. I don't know how Amy Lee hasn't been called upon to do a play yet, like some kind of, you know, musical. I would think their music is perfect for to do some dramatic musical, like to Ballerina too. Also, Fran, saying it's good is rough, but I know you don't know who Woody Allen is, right?
Woody Allen.
Mm-hmm. He's a very well-respected director. He's made some of the most, like, auteur cinema. A lot of people took his style to make art house type of movies. Mm-hmm. And he's a big fucking nasty, dirty creep. He has there's a documentary about him on HBO Max called Allen versus Pharaoh.
Okay.
Because he, first of all, he married this woman who was an actress and had adopted all these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ended up dating one of her adopted kids and marrying her when she was, like, 20. And also now in this documentary, all this stuff was out, I guess, but he has so much money and power
that he moved past this scandal in a crazy way. Mm. The documentary is asserting, with a lot of facts, and I believe all of them, that he was molesting one of the other kids that they adopted ever since she was like 5 years old.
Jeez.
And this all came out in the
90s, yeah.
But he spun it into like, oh, she's a woman scorned. She's mad at me because I fell in love with her older daughter, and she's jealous, so she's calling me a child molester. And because he has so much money and the power to go to the tabloids and go to the news and get his story out there, yeah. And he had more people listening than were listening to Mia Farrow, they all just moved on. And people have done movies with Woody Allen as early as 2017. He still was a working director, even after all this stuff came out and everything.
Dang.
You know, so the documentary really, you know, tells that story really harrowingly, and it's very depressing. It's very, it's very, but it's good. It's like very well, it's a very well told true crime story in a way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Allen versus Farrow, highly recommend that. You watched anything lately?
I started rewatching from the beginning all the Impractical Jokers episodes.
Oh, you a fan of that?
Love it.
Okay,
I love it.
It makes me uncomfortable.
Why?
Because I don't like it's something about my people messing with people. I'm like, oh god, because
yeah,
you're like
I
really
get
trying
yeah,
to
I
like
get it. Yeah,
you're trying
it.
To drive them over the edge and get a reaction out of them. It's the same thing like. We both watched Bad Trip, Eric Andre. It's like, I think it's number one on Netflix right now. It is so fun. But I guess Impractical Jokers is that every episode, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I enjoyed Bad Trip.
Yeah.
So we both saw that. Yeah, Impractical Jokers. I'll give it a try. I like Sal Vulcano. He's funny. They're all funny
all
and stuff.
Funny.
It's just something about that style of TV that I'm always like, oh God,
it's tough to watch.
Freak
it's
out.
Tough to watch. Yeah, it's tough to watch. But
when they're doing something super awkward and stuff,
yeah,
you know,
I love it though. When they got these touch people in the lips stuff.
It's yeah. But Bad Trip, Eric Andre, there's a scene he gets sexually assaulted by a gorilla.
Yeah.
And it is
wild.
One of the most shocking things I've ever seen on TV ever.
He's
a lunatic.
Yeah, he is.
Eric Andre is a lunatic. Yeah. But I feel like him and Hannibal might have had some kind of riff or something because I love Lil Rel.
Yeah,
but that definitely
that
was just
him.
Like supposed to be Hannibal.
For sure.
It definitely
I was
just. It definitely was just supposed to be Hannibal.
I was thinking, I was like, why? I'm like, I wonder
why.
Why
isn't this
Hannibal?
Yeah. Maybe Hannibal's so famous that everybody would just know who Hannibal Buress is. I don't know. Maybe he just didn't want to do it anymore. I don't. But Lil Rel looks so much like Hannibal Buress and Eric Andre and Hannibal Buress are like this duo that have been doing stuff for so long that it felt weird that it wasn't Hannibal Buress.
Yeah.
But I thought Lil Rel was still great.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's very entertaining. So, Bad Trip.
That's the only thing I've been watching, and I became a fan of Marcus King. I kind of like his album.
I don't know who that is. Is that the country singer?
Yeah.
He was on your mom's house a couple times,
yeah,
right?
But it's not
It's not like, girl, I got the beers, and we're doing... It's like gritty country.
It's like B.B. King type of blues.
Yeah, you should listen to Chris Stapleton, man. Chris Stapleton is great. Yeah, Chris Stapleton's great. Yeah,
but album El Dorado, I like
El Dorado by Marcus King.
Yeah, I like
I've seen him on the Your Mom's House podcast. I never went to listen to his music though, but I will
because the episode that I saw, I was like, oh, I know they was talking. He was on. Then his name came up again. I was like, let me give him a try. So
yeah,
I listened to him. I was like, oh shit,
it's some old gritty stuff.
Yeah, it's like because he was brought up with that, and he's like 20.
Yeah,
but he sings like he's 50 years old. Like he's been through a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
and it's like his dad sang, and then his dad brought him up on B.B. King.
Okay,
and all that type
of stuff.
Is
that why he went with Marcus King?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think that might just be his name.
Okay, cool. Yeah, but, I was like, that feels a little cultural appropriation-y, but okay, cool. It's like, I'm going to take this black man's name.
It's great music. I like his music, though.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check Marcus King out. Because
the genre come up as
country. He was very funny on the podcast.
Yeah, it come up as country, and I was like,
the thing. Country has been monopolized by like Garth Brooks and all these awful people.
That's what
just
I think.
Like, when I drink Fireball, baby, the sun goes down. That country is so much, country is... It's like, to me, country is like, it's like this, it has this very, I mean, because black people invented most genres of music, but like, has this real connection to soul music, R&B music, like it's telling these stories and there's pain and there's realness in it. And it's been monopolized by like these bullshit people on boats drinking Bud Light. And that's not all country is, but they're at the forefront of it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's deeper than that. Chris Stapleton is fantastic. I think you'd love, if you like him, you'd like Chris Stapleton.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't even heard Marcus King, but from what you're describing, I think you'd like Chris Stapleton.
Yeah.
So, I would recommend
pretty
that.
Pretty much on my end.
Yeah. So, all right, okay, cool. All right, well, this has been another episode of Affirmative Murder. Man, I had a great time. This was fun. I enjoyed that game. Also, people, once again, the Patreon, might be doing this game that we just played. There's going to be a lot of giveaways in the month of April, so get on over there. And also, people who are on the Patreon who are listening to this, get on over to our social medias. Let us know if you enjoyed us playing this game, if you thought it was boring. I don't know. Like, give us some feedback, and maybe we'll take it over to Patreon. We'll bring a video aspect to it. We can play this on video, and that will give me an opportunity to continue to work on my editing skills, because I'm trying to get all the skills I can. I'm trying to get the fucking Infinity Stones like Thanos, man. So any opportunity that I can have to edit some video is greatly appreciated. So if you guys enjoyed that, maybe we'll add a video element to it and play, you know, guess the film on Patreon. Anyway, I've been Alvin Williams, joined as always by my partner in true crime, Francel Evans, and we'll see you guys next week. Peace.